Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
A lot of proposals today regarding the county assessment. Why do you think that's the best approach for the entire county?
Well, I think you can eliminate duplication of efforts that currently exist. When I looked at it back when I was a controller and we started putting the data together, we have more assessors and assessing units than many states do, including Pennsylvania. And it just doesn't work. All you got to do is look at Amherst and Tonawanda. Tonawanda hasn't had a reassessment in decades. Amherst just recently did, and of course there's been these huge fights. I think if you put it into a unified office, have rolling reassessments, you'll actually have a fairer system and more equitable system, because unfortunately there are people who are probably paying too much today based on the equalization rate compared to some of their fellow county residents. And that's a fairness issue. So I think it's time that we really did this. Nassau County and Tompkins County have already done it. We know it can be done more efficiently. And it's just time to do it. And I'll say this, when I announced it as county controller, I got a lot of pushback from assessors, not surprising. I talked to a member of a lot of the elected officials, town officials and council officials, and they were hearing it from their assessors, but they were like, maybe now's not the right time. I think with everything that's happened over the last 15 years, now is the right time.
So how would it necessarily work? Is it a matter of just towns reaching out to the office to communicate what they would like assessed?
We'd have to take over all their assessment functions at this point. It wouldn't be we just do a particular thing. We would take over the assessment for those towns or those cities. It works best if it's a completely unified system. It's possible we could do a rollout with a number of towns that no longer want to do it. And we are expecting, based on conversations our Department of Real Property Tax Director has already had, that there are some towns that just want to get out of the assessment business totally. So it may be something similar to what the ambulance service was, which we start out with a pilot project, it grows, now it's 10 towns with two new ones that signed on. So I see this as going to be a work in progress, but I believe in the long run it'll save taxpayers' dollars by eliminating all the duplicative services that exist combined across Erie County, and it'll also just create a more efficient, fair system.
So will assessors lose their jobs?
No, I mean, some of them would probably get hired by the county. It's as simple as that. Well, I don't know. It really depends. We're talking about, it would be under the Real Property Tax Division, which already exists. The head of our Real Property Tax Department, Scott Bielewski, is not only attorney, but he's qualified as an assessor now, because you have to be in that job, but you'd need to have other assessors to actually do the work. So it's not like one person could do it all. You'd have to bring in other assessors and do it as a unified method.
Have you talked to any of the other town leaders yet about this proposal?
Mentioned it to a couple. I don't want to mention their names, but I have talked to them and they reacted positively. They thought that, especially one that's dealt with this matter recently with taxpayer revolts, they would love to be able to get the assessment function out of the town's hands into an independent agency to do it. And as I said, there are some communities in Erie County that have not done a reassessment since the 1980s. And the equalization system that the state has is not perfect. It is, certainly is not perfect. There are people in our county today who are probably paying more than they should in their county or their school taxes than if they had a unified system. And the other thing that's, I think, apparent is when you have a unified system, and reassessments don't necessarily mean higher taxes. They just mean a more equitable, fair system for all. You know, it's something I looked at as comptroller. I pushed back then, but I didn't have the bully pulpit to do it, so to speak. With this being my last term, I've already announced that this is my last term, I'm going to spend my political capital in some ways to try to get this done. Because if somebody is going to get it done, it's got to be someone like me, who's not worried about going before the voters, because I think a lot of voters would say, this is terrible, but in the end, it's actually a really good thing that could lower taxes.
How much opposition do you anticipate with this?
I expect opposition from some assessors, but I expect there'll be a lot less opposition than there was when I talked about it years ago.
Last week, your budget director expressed some concerns regarding the revenues brought in so far this year. With all the announcements you made today, are you also concerned about the amount of revenues coming in this year?
Well, a number of the announcements we made have no new dollar value, so they're really like cost neutral. We knew we were going to have a reduction in sales tax because we created a sales tax holiday for home heating fuels for December, January, and February. And we know now that the reduction for that alone in January and February is about $10 million. So we expected to see a reduction in our sales tax, and we did, compared year to year, because we just immediately eliminated a portion of our sales tax. It's something we're monitoring, but I will remind everybody, it's a big budget. It's $1.9 billion. We have a lot of other areas that are showing positives, and it's early. If we saw a $10 million reduction in our sales tax every quarter, I'd be concerned. I don't think that's going to happen. But we have other ways of ensuring the balanced budget. And as I've always done, if there were problems, we would take action to address it. But right now, we've got positive things in some areas, negatives in another. It's just how we kind of go about things with budgeting. But we expected the reduction as a result of the home heating fuels, and we did. We're seeing it. We lost $10 million in revenue compared to the same period last year.
Regarding housing, I know you mentioned Buffalo and Cheektowaga. What are those projects? Do they already have something on the table with that?
We anticipate starting the first construction of a single-family home very soon in the town of Cheektowaga. I'm waiting for the list from the city of Buffalo for the homes for the single-family that are going to be built in the city of Buffalo. So we are going to move ahead very soon with the single-family home construction through the land bank in the town of Cheektowaga. We're also looking at Tonawanda, possibly Lackawanna, but also the city of Buffalo. And then I also, as I announced earlier today, or during the speech, we have identified 10 multi-unit affordable housing projects that will be providing $500,000 each that'll create 630 new housing units in Buffalo, Cheektowaga, Lackawanna. And I very soon, we're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's, we'll be announcing a couple more, and one of them will also be in the town of Cheektowaga.
With regard to the jail, do you think a new jail is needed?
I'm going to wait and see what the report says. They just finished the internal needs analysis. They're writing their report right now, but they're also going to make a recommendation. We don't have that yet. If you walk through the holding center, it's old. You could not put somebody in a facility like that today if you built it new. It would be banned. The only reason we can use it is because it's kind of grandfathered in. There are parts of the holding center that I believe date back to the 1920s. It's not a modern jail facility. The correctional facility is more modern, but it's still nearly 40 years old now. So it is something that the national group, and these are individuals that work in the jail field, that have done the needs review, and they're writing up their report right now. And then they're going to come up with recommendations. I think it's more important to see the report and then kind of form what's at that point is the right decision for Erie County. I don't know what's right at this point. I know what my gut says, but I think at this point it's probably better to let the report spell out what they find.
Mid-September.
With regard to housing, in the budget that was just passed, there is an opt-in for rent control, basically, the 10% cap. Municipalities upstate, I believe, have to vote to opt into that. Is that something you mentioned using your political capital and your bully pulpit? Is that something you would encourage the cities and towns in Erie County to opt into?
The county can't do it. It certainly is something that every community should consider. Because of the increasing rates for housing, but unfortunately they took the counties out of making the decisions for the communities. So it really is an example of local control. The cities and towns have that ability. We're having problems. We're not New York City. I mean, without it, New York City, you the lowest rent would be $6,000, $7,000 a month. So it's something that is a concern, because affordable housing is a concern. One of the things that we're doing is building more affordable housing units. And the more units you have, it should help stabilize the market and reduce the costs overall.
Since you mentioned...
I don't know if you had another question.
No, I was just once again going to ask about the fact that many of your new proposals seem to have no real big price tags attached to it. And it seems to be by design.
Yes, I mean, we've got some... There'll be some costs if we create, of course, a real property tax assessment office. There would be costs associated with that. There would initially be costs associated with the public defender's office, but we think it would actually save a lot of money in the long run. I looked at it as, what can we do to create a stronger, better community? We've accomplished a lot. I look back at what we announced in State of the Counties and what we've done through the years, and we've accomplished an incredible amount in three terms. And that was also dealing with the pandemic, basically shutting down all our work to address that, and the shooting. And so I look at it as, what can we do to leave the community in better shape than when we took office? And this is what I think we can do in addition to everything we've done. But we have a lot of programs. One of the things that the Department of Environment and Planning Commissioner and deputies were kind of happy is, they're like, oh, thank God you didn't give us new programs, because they have so many existing programs from the last couple of years that they're working on, like the affordable housing, the storefront, the issues associated with the sewers and the like. So I also have to look at it and say, okay, what can we accomplish? What can we get done? It wasn't always so much a matter of dollars and cents, but just what will make a difference and what can we accomplish.
Since you mentioned political capital, let me ask you this. With so many towns and villages facing budget issues, assessments, property taxes, all of that, this was a hot button topic when you were controller. Should some of these governments maybe start thinking about consolidation, merging governments?
Well, here's a perfect example. If the county went to a countywide assessment system, it would eliminate those costs on the local level. And they have costs associated with assessors and maintaining that office. And we already have the real property tax division. The irony is, most people think the county does the assessment anyway, because when they get their bills for their taxes, it comes from the county. It's a unified process. So governing is not easy. Governing is hard. And what I'm disappointed in is some folks who come into government and think government is just crazed with all these additional programs and expenses, and then they get in there and they realize there's not a lot you can do unless you want to cut basic services. And so what I've said, talking to local officials, is the county's here to help you in any way we can. If there are services that are more regionalized, we'd be glad to consider them if that's the right thing to do. But you also have to understand that we live at a time in which the public demands certain services. They demand a certain level of quality of life. And when you have that demand, you need to provide those. And you just can't nickel and dime your way through this at times. One of the toughest things that any government can do is make a decision on how they're going to allocate their money. It really is not easy. What's happening more is you're hearing some pushback from the public, is because they don't necessarily like what's done. But I will remind everybody, just because people are the loudest ones don't mean they make up the majority of a community. And as I mentioned during my speech, if you read social media, you would have thought I would have lost by 19 points last year. I won by 19 points, because what you hear from that small minority who's often the loudest does not necessarily represent the total majority of the public. And as local officials, you have to balance that. You have to balance what you think is appropriate for the full community, not just those who happen to be the loudest.
You have harped on
Two more questions.
On the public defender's office, can you explain why you think that's going to save money? Because, you know, bringing that in-house, I can imagine some defense attorneys looking at that and going, there's either going to be not enough attorneys to give proper defense, or they're going to be very low paid, and the defense is not going to be that good. So why do you think that's actually going to save money?
Well, first off, because of the increased rates, what I've been told is pretty much any attorney who wants to apply to get assistance will be put in the system, even if they're not really qualified. I practiced law. I was real estate and corporate law, finance law. I knew nothing about family court. I knew nothing about criminal law. You didn't want me going and representing you in criminal law, but now there's attorneys because they get guaranteed rates at like $170 an hour. So they're taking on the work. What we know is when you unify it, when you have dedicated individuals who are paid an appropriate salary, they will work day in and day out on that subject matter. They also have subject matter expertise associated with dealing with not only the criminal system, but they know those involved in the social services field. They know those involved in the mental health field, where your average attorney who does real estate work but takes on public defense work for additional cash may not have that knowledge. So I think it will actually save money. And all you got to do is look at what happened in Rochester and Monroe County. They have a public defender's office, and they're paying $9.3 million compared to our $40. And
is the defense good, though? Is it adequate?
I would, you know what, as an attorney, I'm not going to denigrate the attorneys that are representing. But if you have a dedicated attorney who specializes in that area versus someone who does not, the defense is a lot better. There's no doubt about that. Last question, because I got to run.
I was just interested in your comments about the dangers of social media. This is something that you have harped on before. You made it a point to kind of close out your remarks talking about this again. I'm just interested in why this is so important to you that you are repeatedly mentioning these in your public remarks.
You know, there's critics, and critics exist. I don't have any objection to critics. There are bots, especially AI bots today, that are not real, and they're engaging in local issues. Let me tell you something. Earlier this year, I sat down with two leaders from across the country, James Gore from California, where they had wildfires, and I think it was Bill Trask from Florida, and we were pulled into a special meeting with Caitlin Durkovich, who's the director of protection for the National Security Council. And what they said is, we want to let you know that in your blizzard in 22, and the wildfires that were in California, and the hurricane that occurred in Florida, You got attacked on social media. They're like, yeah, we expect that. They go, but some of those attacks were not local. They were Russian. They were Chinese bots. The recent Hawaiian fires, we found out, they were claiming that there were hundreds more dead, including children in a child care facility, and they were able to trace them outside of the United States. So what you see on social media, and then it gets repeated. People go, oh, my Lord, kids in a child care died in the Hawaiian fire. Or what we heard during the December 22 blizzard is, were hundreds of people who died. And I'm like, no, there were not hundreds of people who died. There were too many people who died. So there are entities on social media that are trying, as was described to us, they're trying to cause harm to the governmental systems in the United States. And some people laugh and say that's not true. I believe it. I've seen it. We've caught them in the acts in the past. We've caught them in the act where we've seen critics on my posts, and it's like, why is that written in Russian? And then all of a sudden they change because now it's tougher even, because with AI, they can automatically, and they write better, they write more fluent. So what I'm reminding everybody is, what you see on social media may not be real. What you hear in social media may not be real. And if what you saw last year on social media was real, for the comments and the attacks and the things like that, I would not have won re-election. But it doesn't represent the will of the majority of the people. And it's not often real between bots and AI trolls. And some people probably are saying, oh, he's just crazy. No. I mean, there is an attempt by the Russians to destabilize our system, even at the local level. Myself, Bill, James, when we heard this, we kind of, our jaws were dropped, but then they showed us the data. And they showed us, here, the same person that, the same Twitter account that attacked you, Mark Poloncarz, during the snowstorm, attacked James Gore in the wildfires in California and just attacked in Hawaii. They're not a person. It's an AI bot dedicated to going after local officials in the United States to destabilize the system. Don't think it's not happening, because it is. And so I wanted people to understand, just because you see it on social media doesn't mean it's true. And as we talked about with the editorial board, last year I dealt with a county official in New York who believed, because he saw it on someone's internet site, that schools were allowing kids to call themselves a cat and put litter boxes in the classroom so they could use the litter box. He said this in front of the board of directors of the New York State Association of Counties. And we all thought he was joking, and he was like, no, it's real. I saw it on someone's internet site. And we're like, no, I won't say his name, but he is an elected official elsewhere in New York, not Erie County. And we're like, no, that's fake. No, it's not. I saw it. My friend shared it. It's fake. It's not real. We then took him to the site, like, and he was like, oh, I feel so embarrassed. This is an elected official, for God's sakes. And he believed it, and he shared it on his own Facebook page. And so we have to be very careful. We have to be very vigilant. And the best way we can do that is just by ensuring that we have open discussion and discourse among the real people and ignore the stuff that's on social media.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.